The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him, because they do not know the voice of the strangers." Jesus used this figure in speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and out and go and find pasture. The thief comes in instead to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. And Psalm 23 was rightly the psalm that was read in the service. Psalm 23. We had a visitor at our house the other day, and on the wall in our living room, we have a calligraphic copy of Psalm 23 that we received as a gift some time ago. And the visitor looked at this. Of course, it's in the translation of the King James Bible, which has this wonderful, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I still have difficulties to separate myself from the wonderful translation of the King James Bible, particularly for this psalm. The visitor looked at it and said, "Oh, this is my most beloved psalm." Why would she say, "This is my most beloved psalm"? Because it tells that the Lord will provide all the good things you need in life. This psalm promises plenty to eat, more even to drink. The cup runneth over. But then there is a verse in this 23rd psalm which is a little problematic, because the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death also occurs. My mother tells that in a service, when she still was a girl, she had to read, to say by heart the 23rd Psalm in a service or whatever occasion. And she came to the valley of death, "I fear no evil." And then she broke out in tears. And the pastor said, "That seemed to me that you fear no evil." We usually glance over that verse, "The rescue from the shadow of death." This is something we don't talk about that often. And if we do, we love to talk about the rescues from the shadow of death. We all know that one day we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. That's one thing, to know that there will be a time where our life in this world is no longer the one that we will continue. And if you are in a situation that you have a terminal illness, one can even predict how many weeks to live are there left over. We all have our experiences, I'm sure, where we have been rescued from the shadow of death. I certainly have. It began in Berlin when we had the almost nightly bombing attacks from British and American bombers, where you could even hear the bombs whistling down from hell and exploding. We all sat in the basement of our house, and it was always the question whether the next bomb will hit our house or our neighbor's house. And you become doubtful about the prayer, please, doesn't that be our house that is hit, but rather our neighbor's. Damn good wish for a neighbor. It continued when I was a soldier in the German army, where from our company of about 120, 49 did not survive a two-hour attack. I was wounded, but I was rescued from the shadow of death. And so I had other experiences, and you may want to think about yours. I had a very serious lung cancer operation. I also had a very serious pneumonia, which almost killed me a few years ago. But it was always, this is not yet my time. There will be another chance for me to live. And so there was. But once every human life reaches the stage where this is no longer the case, that you can hope to survive. And once you're 88 years old, as I am, this is good to think about that exit from this life. We can also think about the Christians in the concentration camps. Dietrich Bonhoeffer few days before he was killed by the Hitler's SS, he wrote a wonderful verse, which I'd like to quote in German, but I'll try to translate some of it. By wonderful powers, miraculously preserved, we expect with confidence whatever there may come, God will be with us in the evening as well as in the morning. And certainly God will be with us every other day that comes. Written in confidence by someone who soon became a martyr. Another Christian leader, who later became the Bishop of Hannover and was the one who ordained me to my ministry, Hans Lierje, wrote a book about his experience in the Nazi death camps. He survived. He wrote a book about his experience afterwards, which he entitled in the valley of the shadow of death. How could people with confidence write and say, by good powers, wonderfully, miraculously protected, if they knew that the next day that came might well be the last day of their life? Some talked about it, some did not. My father spent some time in a police prison. He never talked about it. Never. About those weeks. And one day, they let him go. How can we go beyond the psalm, even if I walk in the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil. How can we move on with our lives closer to that stage where this earthly life, how bitter it might be, where this earthly life comes to an end? I think the hymn which we will sing, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," have gotten the right kind of answer, because the shepherd, our shepherd, is the King of Love. Love is the kind of thing, the one thing, that reaches into our own life from the other life there is, from the life of God, the King of Love. Because love is the only one thing that reaches from the other world, from God's world, into our own life. Every time we experience love, we are touched by the Divine Spirit. Every time in this life where we experience love, it is this love that we will know will continue beyond our bodily, earthly existence. We may not be aware of that, even that we greet each other lovingly and in joy, that this in fact is a touch of eternity. And so one can go back in one's life and hope to find instances where this love has been sustaining in our lives. In family, the love of our children, the love of my dear wife, but beyond this, the love that binds all of us here together. If we say to each other the greeting of the peace of God, peace of God that shall be with you, a little bit of the divine love shows its power in our lives as we go forward in our own journey that eventually will end in the shadows of death. We don't know what it will be. We know only that God, as the first epistle of John says, God is love. If we experience the presence of God's love among us, then we should remember it is that life that is beyond our earthly life is touching us in our lives as it is until now. It is love in which we enter a new realm of existence. It is in love and only in love that we get a glance of what is there when we are no longer in our earthly life, the world of God. Is there no light at the end of the tunnel? Is it all darkness? Or is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Yes, there is. And all of you have seen it. All of you have experienced it. All of you have received new courage, new encouragement to carry on. Parents, wife, children, people with whom we are connected elsewhere. I received many tributes from former students of mine, and all of them were very moving, because to all the comments that I received, and we had 3 students coming a few days ago to our house who had made a detour from a conference in Atlanta. 2 of them had to go on to the Midwest. 1 had to go on to Texas. But they made a detour via Boston and visited at our house. Why did they do that? Well, there was a normal thing that you say, and I'm grateful that we have gone our academic path successfully. All this being said, it became clear that what was there, which brought them to make the detour Atlanta, Boston, Texas, it was that there was love in the academic pursuits of those students. There are realms in which we can experience and practice this love. And we should probably do this much more consciously in our own services, in our own dealing with each other. That this community should be and has been for us a community in which the love of God sustained all of us, bound all of us together, bound all of us together in our experience and our gratefulness for the fact that in the love that we experience, in the love that we receive, in the love that we give, there is a presence of eternity among us. A presence of eternity that tells us already now what the light will be at the end of the tunnel, at the end of the valley of death. The love that sustains all our lives. And may we more and more learn what we are doing here. Learn that this service, this community, is a community of love. And in being a community of love and being, and all of us being committed to love, we experience eternity. We experience that which will be fully there when this earthly life comes to an end. And maybe this, may this be so for all of us, remembering what is happening when our life, our earthly life, finally is coming to an end, where we are going, and that is the shepherd that guides us also to the valley of death, that this shepherd is the King of love, our shepherd, God who is love. May this be so for all of us. Amen.